Hello and welcome to the Awakened Consciousness Summit. I am your host, Tracy Elizabeth Roman, and I so appreciate you being here. Today's expert is Gregory Joseph. If you're living in pain and have given up hope, it is time to get out of pain now. Meet Gregory Joseph, internationally acclaimed intuitive, healer, and seminar leader. He has traveled around the globe to heal people of seemingly incurable diseases and many disabling physical and mental conditions. He has facilitated healing for international dignitaries, physicians, celebrities, and people just like you. Personal life tools are discovered that energize, motivate, and create a relationship with your true self, your true mind, and your true relationships in the universe. Have the relationships of your dreams, a job that you love, good health, pain-free living, and sleep better. The list is only limited by not knowing the truth of your natural genius talent. Gregory utilizes profound healing techniques learned from the masters to fire up the power within you to heal not only yourself, but others. Welcome, Gregory. Thank you for being with us today.
Well, it's truly a pleasure and an honor, Tracy.
Oh, I'm so happy that you're here. Gregory, this summit is about awakening consciousness, because I truly believe that when we connect to who we are on a soul level, we can then interact with others from a place of love and compassion and joy, and the planet benefits as a whole. What does an awakening consciousness mean to you?
Well, Tracy, an awakening consciousness means for me that I have come in, it's like basically coming home. I understand and know, I go beyond thinking, that I'm a perfect expression of God in this universe that is connected to all things, and that my intelligence is not separate from the consciousness of the entire universe. So what I would say in one sentence is that I am the consciousness of you that is, that was, that always knew. And not just meaning you individually, but you as that universal person as well. And this way, we can tap in to all that is. When we do that, we can know everything we need to know in the moment that we need to know it.
I believe that. Sorry?
Oh, yes, that's it for me. I think that's what I was like laughing my own. I was like, I could feel and see stars all around me. I felt like I was floating in the universe there for a minute.
Oh, oh goodness.
Power we have, too, with our imagination. You know, we can get there.
Yes. It's amazing.
Yeah, Einstein said, imagination trumps knowledge. And imagination trumps everything. It's just, it trumps logic, it trumps intellect, it trumps everything.
That's the vehicle of creation.
Yeah.
That's how we create, is through our imagination.
Yes, yes, yes.
Was there a pivotal experience that started you on the path for truth?
Absolutely. I hate to say it was pain, misery, and despair, but it was. I was on top of the world. I had the benefit of learning about being a perfectionist carpenter from a fellow who learned his trade and the concentration camps where his life depended on perfection. And that got me to be a really great carpenter, and soon I was building really beautiful custom homes. I got married, had two children. And everything was like, I played with wood and people paid me for it. And then it wasn't always like that, you know. All of a sudden, My wife was diagnosed with a terminal illness, a brain cancer. And they told me that it would take about two weeks was the average time after her operation, that the longest person had ever lived from that operation. She actually went on to live another 11 years, but right at that time as well, the market had crashed, and I had a lot of homes on the market for sale, and I lost everything. About a year, 2 years in, after that, her changed mind, wanted no more to do with me, and I came home to an empty house one day. I thought, oh my God, I've hit the bottom, and this is it. It's over. I've lost everything. Even my wife, the kids, everybody's gone. Everything is gone. And it wasn't until I discovered that I could heal myself. A neighbor, this was the pivotal starting point, noticed I wasn't happy anymore, and she introduced me to a group of people who were all about self-awareness. They led me to a man called Alexander Everett, who for the next 27 years became my spiritual guide. He led me to see people like Sri Satya Sai Baba, fully realized being. I went to India to stay on his ashram and studied people like Paramahansa Yogananda and Saint Germain and Buddha and Jesus. I was trying to find all of these masters, whether they were in this world or not, to find out any way that I could that people could heal. And these were great healers of our times. And through those masters and the teachings of the people I found in the United States and all around, I became, well, they gave me an honorary Reiki master degree because of the things I'd learned so much in India. And this was what absolutely, I mean, I credit the fact that she got ill, that we had somehow signed up for this, you know, life together, and I was to be there. And when she got ill and when the thought of her beginning to die completely turned me around from a macho twit contractor to well, that's what I was. I wish it was different, you know, but I would, you know, I was in the school where I had to yell to get things done, and I really didn't listen much to anybody else, and I kind of knew everything kind of thing, to an intuitive psychic and medical intuitive, what people call, have had some tremendous psychic abilities where I'm able to get to the core of issues and help people to release them. Now, it was her passing that actually was the pivotal point, and the idea at first that she was going to, and then she did eventually pass.
Wow. You know, I've yet to meet one person that had like a happy experience that led them to self-awareness.
That's amazing.
Like pain and suffering.
Well, it does happen to a lot of us, it seems. And yes, I'm kind of with you. and each of our experiences are relative, you know, I suppose. But usually it's something that, yeah, logic just no longer fits the bill. What we've learned no longer fits the bill. All of a sudden, nothing makes sense, and we have to reach in. We have to reach inside to be able to tap into that all-knowing, which allows us then to know everything outside of us, and we can stop guessing. We simply have a new roadmap to follow.
And what are you learning about yourself as you continue to navigate this great adventure called life?
Well, what I've really learned about myself is that I have all of the knowledge that I need within, that I can be completely and fully. I have everything that I need to perform any task that's set before me. I need only to be quiet, to still my mind, so that I can hear the inner voice within. I learned that by putting things together with my brain and letting my brain guide me, that I open myself up for a lot of mistakes. And here's probably the thing that really got to me the most was that we make mistakes, or when I made mistakes, I'll speak for myself, you know. My higher self knew, and it's like, we missed the mark. And I just missed the mark. I just was doing the best I can with what I had learned, not with what I was tapping in and knowing. So most of the time I was working and doing things. Well, I even know I started my construction company to prove it to people that I could do it. Because my parents, you know, they knew, they supported me and loved me, but, you know, it wasn't in their idea that I could do this by myself. And I did. And when I lost all of that hatred, you know, and all of that, I'll prove it to you, I almost lost my company at one time. And when I realized that, I thought, oh, my gosh, you know, this is something I've got to get rid of. This is something that when I make mistakes like this, well, let me say it this way. You know, the original, do you ever hear what the original word sin, what it really means, S-Y-N-N?
No.
It's when the archers and the, you know, the ancient archers in England, they would shoot their arrows at the target. And when they missed the bullseye, they say, ah, you've sinned. In other words, you missed the mark. They didn't say that you've sinned, you're bad, or you're wrong. They just said you've missed the mark. And so what I really learned about myself was I was missing the mark a lot. Okay. What I thought to be true, all of these macho ideas, including some really ridiculous ones like, you know, how dumb blondes were and things like that. I mean, we were brought up with these things. And, you know, they have an effect, even though some of them came as jokes and things like that. They really had an effect. And that took me so far off the mark. And, boy, I took, you know, an intense 7 years of self, you know, looking into myself and finding out what was there. I mean, an intense study. And that took me on the rest of my journey, which I've been doing now for 34 years. And I began to realize that when I listened to that, women call it women's intuition, but it's even past that. You're tapping into everything. Men call it a gut feeling. It's way past that. It's the simple act of being silent and knowing. And that's what has changed the most.
Okay. Why do you think that there are so many people who are unhappy with their lives and are looking for something more?
Well, there's a statement that, you know, I like to use, and it's like, it goes like this. What anyone else thinks of me is none of my darn business.
Mm.
It's like, and what that really means is so many times we're doing things to please other people. We want to be like our parents, that we ought to please them. You know, I take people, I'm a master firewalk instructor as well. And, you know, what I really discovered, yeah, when people walk across the fire, that's not the power. The power isn't walking across the coals. Everybody can do that. The power is knowing when to walk. See, if I'm walking to try to prove to you that I can walk, that's not a true feeling. That's not a true knowing. That's like, oh, I want to be better than, less than. We get wrapped up in these ideas of why we need to do things. We need to be acknowledged, or we need to be given accolades instead of realizing what we have, something going on that we've accomplished, that all we need is ourselves to say, wow, I really did that well. Like, and people, you know, when we do that, we've been trained. People say, oh, what an ego you have. When the proper response is to say, wow, Greg, you did that beautiful piece of carpentry work. You must be a really good carpenter. And the proper response for me should have sounded something like, thank you, I know. But instead I go, oh, well, gee, I'm thinking I could have done this just a touch better. And, you know, and I make excuses and I say, oh, well, you know, other people are just as good. No, this is an accomplishment. And when we can give ourselves accolades, and we can love ourselves for what it is that we do, because we do it strictly for the joy of doing it, wow, we start to be happy. I'll tell you the most poignant time that I came across this. I used to work with they gave me like 8 people from the hospital periodically who they had sent home to get their affairs together. The first 8 people they sent me, this 2 died that night. They had just days and hours, you know, sometimes weeks to live. And 2 passed away that night. I never got to work with them. And the other 6 are still alive. And that was in 1992 when I first met them. And there have been many more that have joined the ranks here. And all we did was talk about going within. And one day I realized, wow, these people are still here. I said, oh my gosh, I was up on the stage talking to them, and I lost my train of thought completely. I was so flushed with emotions. And they said, we had become all friends. And they said, well, what's wrong? What's wrong? And I said, I just realized why I'm here. And they said, well, tell us. And I said, well, I'm here because I get so much joy from doing this. You could have died and you're still sitting here. And that just lights me up like you can't believe. And I got a funny response. They all got kind of mad at me. And they said, no, you're here for us. I said, no. This makes me happy. I mean, let's face it, what are you here for? You're here to get well. You're here for yourself, aren't you? You don't invite me to your home for dinner. I don't know your family. You know, we come here for a mutual idea that we're both coming into a sense of joy, and that is strictly for ourselves. My joy is mine. Yours is yours. That's how it works. When we realize and when we tap into our genius talent and use it, it's not work at all. See, most people are working in jobs they hate. And when I talk about that in firewalking, I say, if you're doing something you hate every day, you're burning yourself every day. That's why you're miserable. Then you have to go out in the weekend and get drunk and have parties and stuff and come in the morning on Monday all hungover, try to make it through Wednesday, get through Wednesday and go back to work again because you hate what you're doing. And that tends to make people pretty miserable. So you find your genius talent, you go within. And you find that talent, and you do that as your service to mankind. It's not work at all.
Right.
Like I sit here and talk to you. This is my work. I love doing it. When people feel better, that lights me up. That's it. That's the answer.
What do you believe? What do you believe is the one single truth that everyone should know?
We are all connected. We are all part of one large organism. Mm. And if we take good care of ourselves, and we take good care of our brothers and sisters, and we take good care of this planet, we are taking good care of ourselves. Everything on this planet is part of us. And we should help to heal it and nurture it. Every person, every being, if someone dishonors us, honor them anyway. It's part of our own being. To hurt someone else is to hurt ourselves. To hurt the planet is to hurt ourselves. I wish that we would all just know that we are all one.
Yes, I think if that were the case, this planet would change in one generation, if not instantly.
Yes.
Within that generation, it would change.
Oh, I think about it. Couldn't you just imagine? We wouldn't need locks for our doors. We wouldn't need to have protection. We don't have to, worry or be afraid to let our children go out and play. We could be really happy. And I was at an island out in British Columbia, and it was like that. The children knew that every adult was responsible for them. And the adult knew they were responsible for every child. Everybody could go to everyone. They didn't even have a police force there because there was no crime. I said,
that's beautiful.
Yeah, this is the way it should be. I could imagine that.
Let's move there.
Let's move there. And, let's create it everywhere we go, too. Let's just do it.
Like a wave.
Yeah, exactly.
Followed in our wake.
It's possible. I think with people like yourself doing what you're doing here and bringing people like myself and other people like this together, and if people can hear this, we haven't been taught this. We don't teach us this in school. They teach us to be separate and to regurgitate things and to remember instead of to know.
Yes. That is a big pet peeve of mine. I feel that we're not really taught to think for ourselves and to reason. you know, we're just taught to memorize things and regurgitate them, but if the world were to end and you had two people and you asked them, could you do X, Y, Z, they wouldn't be able to. They could use X, Y, Z, but they couldn't tell you how it works or figure out what's wrong and correct it. It's all about just making use of things and not really understanding them, I think.
Yes, it's about, unfortunately, taking instead of giving.
Yeah.
And, you know, I got caught up in that, you know, when I was in construction and I had to have more and I had to build our houses. Everything had to be bigger and stronger and faster. I got caught up in it. I built houses up to 19,000 square feet.
That's tremendously big.
Yeah, you did a riding vacuum cleaner, you know. I mean, good grief. What are you going to do if you lose your shoe? You'll never find it. Why not?
You have the same pairs of shoes in every room.
And that's how ludicrous it gets, you know. And then we're stuck in having to buy more just to keep more going, you know.
Yeah,
Wow, it's something else. You know, I admit it. I've been stuck in it. And that's kind of what helps me to see the dichotomy of it, you know, because I can remember how I was, what I did, how I used to have to yell and scream and acquire and acquire and acquire instead of learning to want less. You know, when I was in India, I went into a store one time. Well, I didn't go into it because it was only about 5 feet by 5 feet. And there was one fellow sitting in a chair in the middle, and he could reach every shelf, and you just point to what you want and hand it to you, you know. And everything in that store was a necessity, you know. And then when I came back to the States, you know, and I went into a mall, oh, my God, I thought, there's probably like 1% here that's a necessity. And yet it's that 99% that everybody thinks they have to have. And I think ultimately this makes people unhappy.
Yeah.
I think they can buy it by, you know, by wearing something nicer to feel better instead of going inside. Instead of putting something on top of your body, you put it inside your body. Like, I love myself, and I'm going to be kind to everybody today. What a beautiful feeling.
It is. And you can put something on and feel good temporarily, but it wears off fast.
It doesn't take away the pain inside. And that's something that happens to people, you know, because we have these emotional pains or mental pains. We're stressing about things. We've been attacked. We've been molested. Things have happened in our lives, you know. We've seen horrible things happen on the earth, and this starts to become a part of us. And we forget about what's going inside. We're so focused outward, and we forget to go back inside. And this emotional and mental pain eventually, and this is when people usually start coming to me, it turns into a physical pain or a physical discomfort. And, you know, by that time, it takes a little bit more effort to get rid of it because we can get rid of an emotional pain easier than we can get rid of a physical or a mental. You see, and we can get rid of a mental pain easier than a physical pain. But we have to access all four of those bodies, mentally, physically, emotionally, even spiritually. We can have pain when we get so disconnected and we feel lost. Feeling lost is painful.
Yes, it is.
And I'll tell you this to you right straight up, Tracy. Being in pain is a really poor use of your time. You think about it, you know. When you're in pain, the kids spill something and you scream at them. It's just milk. It's not, you know, burn the house down. But we're screaming because we're in pain, not because of the spilt milk.
Right. And we're taking it out on others.
Yeah,
at ourselves, because it's painful. It's emotionally painful to see those areas of yourself that you cannot reconcile yourself with.
Yes, there's not a roadmap. You know, that's why I put this whole program together. We need a roadmap to get out. It's like we're not trained to do that. We've lost our way. But, you know, the good news is there's people like us are finding out how to get back. You create that roadmap. You stop all of this outward thinking and go within and simply know. You get your relationships back. You know, you get to have intimacy without pain, and you get to like read and hike and garden and eat great food and chocolate and drink wine and stuff and have a good life and enjoy yourself. And it's like you get to go on adventurous vacations, and then you actually have an ability to help others, and most importantly, you feel safe in your own body. And that's huge. People just aren't feeling safe anymore. And this, like we talked about, you asked me, like, what causes and why are people unhappy, you know? Well, I don't know people that are in pain that are happy.
No.
You know? And this is so why it's so important to keep out of pain. And the way to do that is to hit the mark. Is to know what brings your bell. Know what brings you joy and happiness. Don't pay attention to anyone else. When you're young and you say, I want to be a fireman, your parents say, oh, there's no money in that, blah, blah, blah. And you say, never mind, that's what I want to do, you know.
Right.
you stick to your guns.
Yes.
And if you want to be, you know, any profession in the world, you know, everybody's got to comment about it. But if it's what rings your bell, I mean, I saw an article, there were grown men who build sandcastles for large hotel chains. Because that's what they love to do.
I've seen that on YouTube. I think they're amazing.
I'll tell you how, I was about ready to go into pain. My daughter was dating this fellow a long time ago, and she met him in Hawaii. And I said, "What's he do?" She goes, "Well, he surfs a lot." I said, "Yeah, but what does he do?" She goes, "Well, he surfs, you know." And where does he live? She goes, well, this fellow kind of gave him a place on the property. He built a shed. And I said, well, what does he do? And I'm trying to find out what he does for a living. And she says, well, he surfs. Because I don't want her to go through the pain, you know, of my idea, you know, my protective father instincts of marrying a bum, you know. and you know, so I said, well, you know, you better plan on having a good job. Because if you really love this guy, you're going to be the breadwinner, it sounds like, you know. And she, oh, Dad, this and this. Well, eventually it kind of broke up, you know. Then they kept in touch. They were friends. And turns out he gets a job with the Navy SEALs teaching them how to surf. You see, this is what he did, what made him happy.
Yeah.
And it became his vocation. And that is his service to the world.
Yeah.
Teaching people that. You know, unfortunately, at this time of our lives, we need people to protect us, you know, and he's teaching them how to serve. Isn't that brilliant? So you do what you love, and the universe will conspire to help you.
Yes. Yes, that's one of my mantras. I'm tired. The universe conspires on my behalf in every moment.
Ah, yes, I love that.
Yeah.
And that's something, again, we're not taught. We're taught that the world sucks and then you die. I mean, that's a horrible statement. I can remember using that so many times. And we stand around and play, ain't it awful? And this makes us unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And what we need is a roadmap. What we need is a place to take the guesswork out of creating all of this pain in our lives. We need to remember and learn how to go back inside and to be who we are.
Yeah.
It's so critically important. I'll tell you how powerful it is. I'll give you an example if you'd like, you know, and just tell you the power that we have. I remember I was waiting for an appointment, and it was like 2:14, you know, and I have an appointment was at 2:00, you know, and this woman was supposed to come in. So I started packing up my things, and all of a sudden the door like kicks open, and there is this just lovely, beautiful woman. I remember her fiery red hair, and then I was really drawn to her eyes. They were so, oh my God, they just took my heart, you know. And then I looked over to the left a little bit, and I saw her husband. And I looked at her husband, and there was tears rolling down his cheeks, you know, as he put her lifeless body, nearly lifeless body, on my table. I mean, she had been sent there home to die. She was one of those people.
Oh,
and
no.
I looked into those eyes, and she had given up hope. She had given up. And, you know, she was just, well, going to go home to die, you know, and got to go tell the kids sort of thing. But one of her friends, who was a friend of mine, said, well, come and see this. They called me a nut job, you know. You know, what could it hurt? And so they did. And I remember her husband just, what's she bringing her, you know, his wife to a carpenter for, you know. You know, because I was still doing carpentry work then, too. And anyway, after four visits, this is 4 weeks, one visit per week, she got exponentially better each week. And I just was teaching her and moving energy. I do a lot of energy work, yes. But I was, the more importantly, she was extremely attentive to the lessons that I had learned from the masters that I was passing to her. And then on the fifth week, she didn't show up. I thought, oh, my God, she must have died, you know. About 4 weeks later, she called me up. And I get this phone call, right? And I say, she goes, hi. I go, who is this, you know? She told me her name. I'll just say it, Sue, you know, because it's a big protector of privacy. And I said, Sue, who? And she told me. And I said, oh, my God, I thought you had died. I mean, you just disappeared. I was so, you know, distraught here, but I didn't know your family. I didn't know anybody to call. And I thought maybe I shouldn't, you know, because, you know, this was a kind of a tough time. She said, oh, no. She said, I felt so good. I went to the doctor. I made him give me another exam. And I was in complete remission. I called my husband from the hospital, and I went on vacation for 4 weeks with my entire family. We took the kids out of school, and we just went. I said, oh, my God, you're in remission. She goes, that's not the fun part. I said, what do you mean? She said, I got to wash their clothes. I got to cook dinner for them. I got to do the laundry. I got to clean the house. She said, all these things that people complain about. See, she got to care for her family again. She got to be intimate with her husband again. She got her marriage back. This is the power that we all have if we just go within. This is what I teach. This is what we all should be learning. And this is what I learn more of as many times as I possibly can, because I've got some ways to go. Unfortunately, I've spent, like, you know, since I was born, so just about now, still doing some of the things that I was taught. and that's still a part of who I am.
Right.
One of the biggest things I did, Tracy, was teach them how to center themselves. I'd like to do that for the listeners now, if you'd like me to do it.
Okay, sure.
Or if you have something else you want to talk about first, we can do it a couple minutes from now, too, you know?
I had another question, but I'm game to go into
Well, you're going to be in a different state, I'll tell you. This is one of the most powerful things I've ever learned. My teacher, Alexander Everett, taught it to me, and it's very powerful in the fact that it deals with all four bodies. It deals with all seven levels of existence, and all of these things come together to do what I call make a definitive moment.
Like, what do you mean seven levels of existence?
Well, we are all born to a certain vibration.
Mm-hmm.
And each of us has, well, you see, when you pass a white light through a prism, right, you get, primarily, you get seven major colors. There's actually every color imaginable in there. So we have seven major identifiable colors that, at the cusp of each one, of course, creates all the different colors that you see in a rainbow. Each one of these colors represents a way of being. And when we start to learn how it is, now this doesn't mean that we're completely that, we're balanced, and that we are all this beautiful white light, but it's just that we have seven levels of existence that we live through. Have you heard of, personality matrices, things like that,
mm-hmm.
where you have orders and controllers and analyzers and thinkers and things
mm-hmm.
like that. This
yes.
is reduced to that for simplicity. For example, I could go through this, but that, you know, we could do that another time. But I think I'll let you kind of hear it in the meditation, you know, a little bit, and have its
okay.
effect work on you. But I'll tell you, you'll be in a different space. You might want to ask your question now. This is.
Oh, okay. I was going to ask you who made the biggest impact on your life spiritually and why.
Well, that would be my spiritual teacher, Alexander Everett. And the reason why is he brought the the teachings of the masters to my conscious mind. He did it in such a very beautiful way. He just stated the truth as he knew it. I could take it or leave it. And I couldn't get enough of it, because each time he did, from that very deep state of depression I was in, from losing everything, to starting to come home and feel good about myself, being able to laugh, have fun, interact with people, raise my children, you know, it was the most extraordinary experience. And through him, I met some extraordinary people in India, the most of which I would mention is Sri Satya Sai Baba. Was a fully realized being, and I got to spend quite a bit of time on his ashram in India. And I couldn't speak his language. But what was really interesting was that he could speak mine in any language of anybody in front of him. What was even more interesting, he did it all at the same time. And I actually witnessed that, and that did something to me. It just, I remember very well, we were sitting, six of us in a little semicircle, and I couldn't tell what country these people were from, let alone what language they spoke. And we all heard him in our own language as he was speaking to us. And it took us a little while to catch on that I was understanding what he was saying to them, but I couldn't speak to them and they couldn't speak to me. We had no idea what countries we were from. We had no idea. And that was omnipresence. And something shifted deeply inside of me at that time. And a little while later, I had an occasion to be next to him. People would go like for 20 years and never get this close to him, because millions of people literally go to see him. And I was painting a sign. I was doing service. I was, you know, just availing myself. Actually, my son is a great artist, so he actually drew the sign. I filled in the colors. And Sai Baba came and stood next to me. And I thought, oh boy, I can ask any question I want, you know. And all that poured out of me was, this is my son. And I thought, oh God, I blew it, you know. That's all I could say. And he said, yes, I know. And he walks away. And a few feet away, maybe about 15 or 20 feet away, and I poke my head around the sign, and I hear in the deepest core of my being, it wasn't in my brain at all. It like came from every cell of my body. I said, who are you, really? And he turned around and faced me, and he waved his arms around, kind of like up straight and out to his side. So he just made a big arc with his arms. And I saw the entire universe. I saw everything forming and planets and stars spinning around. And it was just the most extraordinary thing, and I could barely look at him. And as I looked to some of the people that were looking at him as well, they were just watching him, and I was shielding my eyes because the light was so bright. Mm-hmm. And they were all having a different experience, again, that omnipresence. And it just moved me so deeply. It must have, because I was walking down the sidewalk later, and people would say, oh, you just had an experience. I mean, they could tell the glow that was just pouring off my body. I had come in contact with that oneness. That changed my life forever.
I have had that experience.
Oh.
Twice. And it came upon me in the most ordinary way. And I don't have the words to articulate the magnitude of the majesty and the just awesomeness of being everything and knowing everything, seeing everything at the same time. It is mind-boggling. My brain is still incapable of, yet this is what why I'm doing what I'm doing.
Yeah. Could you tell me, didn't it feel like you just... At the time, it's so clear, but trying to think about it afterwards, it's impossible.
Yeah, it was like I was everywhere and everything, and there was nothing that was not me, and I knew everything.
Yeah,
I was everything. I can't put into words, but I can tell you that I've just been like, I want to live from that place. Why can't I live from that place?
It's just
amazing.
Well, you know, I might even have a simple answer, but I haven't mastered it quite myself yet.
Okay.
we've been practicing who we are and what we've learned and what we've experienced from the time we were born till now. If we want to practice that, I mean, if we want to be that, we have to practice that. We have to practice that feeling. We have to know how to get there. And that's what it takes. That's what this,
yep.
I'll tell you, this centering exercise we're going to do, many people have this experience through this exercise.
We'll have to have this have another conversation that's not being recorded.
Oh, I'd be delighted.
All righty, so let's get to that centering.
Well, let's do it. Well, let me talk a little bit about it, and then we'll do it. It's going to take, I have a long version and a short version. I think we'll have to do the short version. Long version's about 25 minutes. The short version will last anywhere from 7 to 10 minutes, and you'll certainly get the idea, okay? It's, I don't know if we should do the long version. We would certainly run over the hour time that we have.
It's probably better to do the short version.
Okay,
let's do that. Too much for some.
Okay, yeah, because we might just all go into a stupor and forget we're on the radio here. That's let's see what happens. Well, let me just give you a little background. So we're going to use the colors of the rainbow. We're going to go from our outer bodies to our inner bodies. Red is the vibration of the outer physical body. We move into orange, which is the vibration of our emotional body. And yellow, the vibration of our thinking, our mind. And we go into our higher spiritual self, which is green, which is the emotion. It's the essence of peace. We start moving into the higher spiritual realm. And we begin moving into the angelic realm. We start to visualize the color blue. Then we move into the causal plane of purple and all the way up to violet at the top of our head. And that's kind of how it works. And so violet is completely connected through our crown chakra all the way, you know, to all that is. And purple is we transcend all thinking. We go beyond thought. And blue is love, which is the outward centrifugal force of the universe. It's not like romance or love an ice cream cone. It's simply the energy force, okay? It's actually the male energy. Love is action. It's energy and action. Wisdom is the incoming energy. That's the female energy. That's the knowledge coming in, and then the knowledge turns into action, and then the outward force is the love. That's the energy and action, or the knowledge and action, okay? So we're going to go through all these levels of existence, and then we're going to come to the center of our being, and we'll sit there in silence a little bit and allow ourselves to go wherever it is that spirit leads us to go. And spirit meaning your own true Lord and Master, your own God within, your higher self, or I like to call it your perfect self. And when you get direction from there, you will hear it. Now, here's the thing. Some people hear this, like, audibly. Some people just kind of know. Some people are kinesthetic. They have a feeling. And some people see bright colors. Some people have a vision. And for others, sometimes it's just a very, very quiet, dark place. And just how it is. And I can explain the meaning of some of those things later if we have time. But so what I want to tell you, the reason I'm saying that, is that you cannot do anything wrong. When you do this particular centering exercise, it's everything that you're led to do is led by your higher purpose. So it's going to work for you. So the key that to get ready for this is to get yourself in an upright sitting position, preferably on something like a kitchen chair. So if you sit in a lounge chair or lay down, you're likely to fall asleep. Now, it's not a bad thing to fall asleep, because what it does is it kind of takes your brain out of the equation, your thinking brain, and allows you to do what's called alpha thinking. And so you actually could get quite a bit more out of it. But the thing that is more important to me is to say, well, it's not more important. It's just important, I think, that I want to make a point here, is that by doing this process and keeping cognizant, keeping aware of what's happening, that is what connects it to your current reality today, your everyday life, okay? And that's why I'd like you to stay conscious during this process. So when you sit up in a chair, you have to maintain a certain level of consciousness so that you don't fall over, okay?
Yes.
So that's kind of the idea. Then you want to sit open body, don't cross your arms or legs, and we'll be closing our eyes. And then you might want to arrange, you know, wherever you are so that there's no interruption or people that you know that you're going to spend the next 8 or 10 minutes in a very, very holy, a very, very beautiful place. You're going to sacrifice yourself to this time. And the word sacrifice means to make holy. You're going to make yourself holy during this time, okay? Let's think if there's anything else I would want to say. If there are any loud noises or things that take your attention, just tell yourself they don't affect me, that all is in divine order. It's perfect. If something should happen, it's all divinely led. And you just allow it to either take you deeper, or you might find you're just sitting there thinking, doing a laundry list, and it knocks you back into, oh, we're doing this. Because your brain's going to try to get you out of this. It's very cunning about these things, okay? It wants to maintain control. And what we're going to do is go into complete silence. This is not like a meditation where you say, I'm going to meditate on an insect or a world peace or something like that. We're just going to let go, complete surrender, okay?
Okay.
All right, so here we go. I'm just going to take a nice deep breath in. So everybody take a nice deep breath in. Feel your whole chest, your stomach area, feel everything up and just let it go. And next we're going to take a deep breath in. When I count to three, but you're going to hold it and count 7 heartbeats. And then let the air out of your mouth as slowly as possible. And while you're doing that, I'm going to begin. So 1, 2, 3, breathe in some more. Breathe in as much as you can and hold. Pay attention to your heart. 7 heartbeats. And let the air out of your mouth as slowly as you possibly can. For soon I know I shall be at the center of my being, the holiest of holy places, the place where all things are known to me. And to do this, I shall first visualize the color red. A beautiful, natural red color fills my vision. Red is the color of the outer physical body. I relax my body. I just let go. This beautiful vibration of red completely with my mind relaxes my entire body. To become completely and fully relaxed, I focus all of my attention and mind at the top of my head, and I just relax the top of my head. I just let it go. I bring my attention into my forehead. I even wiggle my eyebrows to release the tension within. I relax my forehead. I even relax my eyes, particularly all the tiny little muscles surrounding my eyes. I just let go. I let those muscles go again. I just relax them. I next relax my jaw. I wiggle it from side to side to release the tension within. I even relax my tongue. Maybe I let it fall off the roof of my mouth. I next bring my attention and awareness to my neck. I turn my head from side to side to release all the tension and stiffness within. I feel this relaxation now like a wave building up and flowing down over my shoulders as I lift my shoulders up high and just let them drop, allowing that energy to flow down both of my arms, through my elbows, into my wrists, and into my fingertips. I reset my attention into my chest area now, particularly my lungs, as I relax and let go all the tension in my lungs. I pay all of my attention, particularly to the air going in and out of my lungs. In and out. In and out. I completely relax my lungs. This wave of relaxation now pours down into my abdomen. As I release and let go all the tension within, down into my pelvic areas. I release all of my sexual organs, all of the muscles and tissues and sinews within, and over my buttocks and into my thighs. While my thighs are already so relaxed, I can feel the vibration of my bones deep within. Next, I flex and bend my knees to release all the tension in my knees. I just relax my knees. Moving ever downward, I even relax my calves and even my shins. Yes, I feel a beautiful energy in my shins as they begin to relax completely, all the way down through my ankles and in to the tips of my toes, while my entire physical body is in a complete state of relaxation. This feels so good to do. Relax. 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 From now on, whenever I need to relax my outer physical body, I need only visualize this most brilliant and beautiful red color. And my outer body becomes completely and fully relaxed. Moving ever now towards the center of my being, I next visualize the color orange. Orange is the color of emotions. I release and let go all my emotional attachments to all people, to all events, to all things and places in my life, in my past. I just let it all go. For I truly desire to presence myself in this moment now. Orange is the color of emotions, a beautiful natural orange, like an orange itself. Calms my emotions. Next, I visualize the color yellow. Yellow is the color of the mind. Yellow, like the sun itself, fills my entire vision. I quiet and still my mind. Should there be any thoughts in there now, I just let them go. Maybe I put them on a cloud with my imagination and just let them float away. Maybe I send them all to the center of my brain. No matter what thoughts I have, I just keep directing them and redirecting them to the center of my brain. Maybe I shoot them in with an air gun, or kick them, or bounce them, or throw them in with my hands, or maybe I see them fly in with an airplane. It doesn't matter. I let my imagination do that. And I still and quiet my mind. My mind simply stops functioning. I allow my brain to just be. Quiet. Yellow is the color of the mind. I still and quiet my mind. Peace. 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 And now, as I have left my three outer bodies behind, I enter into the higher spiritual realm. As I visualize the color green. Green is the color of peace. Green, like all the grass, the flowers that surround us. Green is the color of peace. I feel the warmth of peace flowing in all of the cells of my body. I actually visualize myself communicating in a peaceful manner. And this causes others to communicate in that peaceful manner. And they to others, and they to groups and groups, and towns to cities, and cities to other cities, and other cities to states, and states to countries. I see everybody communicating in this most beautiful and brilliant, peaceful way. Why? By being peaceful inside myself, visualizing this most brilliant green color, I create world peace. 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 Now moving onward towards the center of my being, I next visualize the color blue. Blue, like the sky that surrounds us. Blue is the color of love, the energy force of the universe. It is the outward centrifugal force, the action in all energetic things. Love truly does make the world go round. Blue is the color of love. Whenever I need more energy to perform any task set before me, I need only set myself into motion to create more energy than ever before. And now I move closer even to the center of my being as I visualize the color purple like a beautiful purple flower. Purple is the color of aspiration. I go beyond thinking. I transcend all thought. I just know. I know that soon I shall be at the center of my being, the holiest of holy places, the divine fulcrum of all that is, my eternal own universe. I go beyond thinking. I transcend all thought. I even know that I know. Purple is the color of aspiration. When I wish to know, without any doubt in my mind, I simply visualize this most brilliant and beautiful purple vibration. And this leads me to the center of my being as I visualize the color violet, a most brilliant, beautiful, delicate Maya flower fills my vision. I am now at the center of my being, the holiest of holy places, the divine. I need only be silent in these next few moments and go wherever it is that spirit needs me to go. Peace. 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 Soon I know I must come back to the everyday world. I allow myself these next few moments to complete my journey, as this is all the time that I will need. And I begin my journey back into this current reality by visualizing the colors of the rainbow in reverse sequence, beginning with violet, moving upwards and outwards to purple, upwards and outwards to blue, the color of love, upwards and outwards still to green, yellow, orange, and red. I am infused, I am enlightened, I am enriched with the knowledge from deep within. I am now centered more than ever before. I just am. If you'd like, Tracy, and sometimes it gets a little invasive at this point, but you can let us know what happened for you.
I did doze off. I kept dozing off and snapping awake. And then I opened my eyes for some reason, and I have a really big television it wasn't a television. It was like the cosmos I was looking at. It was moving, the stars, and it was really kind of like, what am I looking at? And I closed my eyes again, and I kind of went just quiet.
Now, I don't usually like to just describe things, but I don't explain, because each of us is given a certain experience that is known truly and fully only to them. Sometimes if you have a very powerful mind, you're given things in the abstract or in that way where you really kind of just know something happened, but you don't have any words. The reason for that is so our brain doesn't tangle it up and stick it back in the same old compartments it always does. You see, so you get
that
to do something
sense.
Different. Yeah.
Yeah.
And dozing off and snapping awake, that's like keeping you in that alpha state where you're kind of in that sleep state, but conscious, and it allows you to pick up information from the etheric. And you mentioned the TV. There's another very, very powerful thing we do called the screen of the mind, where we reinvent our lives. It's so incredibly powerful, and it sounds like you went to a very similar place. Now, when we see universes, too, I'm led to believe by all the powers that be, if you will, that this is particularly a universe known exclusively to ourselves. Like the Zen say, every single thought we have creates a new universe. And when you really think about that, as a matter of fact, when you just contemplate that, don't think about it at all. Just say the statement and let it go. Go into this centered state and see what comes up for you.
Well, I definitely believe that. Every choice creates another reality of the choice you didn't make.
Wow. You come into this place. This has been the crux of all of where I get a lot of my information. It comes through to me in this centered state. And this is how I found out to help people heal, to get rid of supposed terminal illnesses, to stop themselves from living in it in mental or emotional or even spiritual anguish, which eventually winds up in your flesh and blood. And we cause this dis-ease becomes a disease. And boy, we're good at it. Now, that's the good news. Because, and the reason that's good news is because if we're good at it, we're also good at healing ourselves. We just haven't been taught.
That's true. Oh, would you like to tell us about the gift that you have for everyone?
Oh, I'd love to. Tracy has asked me to provide you with a gift, and there's something that I do. I have a program. It's called the Get Out of Pain Now. And what I do is I would like to give everybody a 1 hour that's listening, and then a follower of Tracy here, you can call me up. I'll give you the contact information, actually. And I'm going to offer a full 1 hour Get Out of Pain Now breakthrough and strategy session. And it's designed by the way that it is put together. You will actually begin to have some ahas about why it is you're in the state that you're in. You'll have an opportunity to establish some focus and direction if you want to change your life as it exists now. Bring it into some happiness, some joy, some peacefulness, whatever it is that you're looking for. Being able to care for your family, feel safe in your body, some of those things we mentioned before. Being able to have intimacy and not suffering. And do all the things that you love to do. It takes about 45 minutes to an hour and also gives you an opportunity to see if, in fact, this is a path that you want to go on. And then you can choose. What I will tell you is, it's important to make a choice for yourself, no matter what you're doing. Find out what it is your genius talent and make it happen. So it's a complimentary 1 hour session. You can go to www.getoutofpainnow.com gregjoseph.com. I try to keep it kind of easy here. If you remember my name, you've got it. It's GREGJOSEPH.com. And there's you scroll down to a complimentary session there. It tells you a little bit about me as well. And you click on that link, and it'll take you where you can set up a session. It'll take you right to a calendar, and you can set up a session with me.
Wonderful.
You know,
I'm also providing the link on the speaker page directly under Gregory's calls. You'll find the link to his website,
yes.
And you can sign up there too as well. So you don't have to remember it. You can just click the link if
Thank you so much.
Pen and paper. Yeah.
I'll tell you, this is an exciting thing because people actually have tremendous breakthroughs just through this process of finding out what it is that they truly want, what really is important to you, what really rings your bell. And so few of us know that. I mean, Tracy, I was very fortunate that I loved doing carpentry. Literally, I meant it. I played with wood and people paid me. I just couldn't get over that. You know, I had one family confess to me, you know, they said, "Boy, we hired you to do a 3-month project. You've been here a year and a half." She goes, "We have a confession." I said, "What's that?" She said, "Well, you brought so much joy into the house, we kept inventing things for you to do."
I love that.
If you love what you're doing, you'll
yes.
enjoy it. It's not work.
Yes.
Just don't forget to go home at night, you know. That's Well, I sure appreciate this opportunity. I know I've kind of gone over a little bit on the time, but I really appreciate being able to bring this message. And, Tracy, your efforts to bring people like us to the public, I truly, truly, it's a beautiful gift that you have.
My pleasure. Are there any final thoughts you would like to leave us with?
I would, as a matter of fact. Be yourself. Realize that by being yourself, you're one with everybody. Pay attention to what your heart's telling you. It will never steer you wrong. Your heart has no questions. Your brain has no answers.
True. Thank you, Gregory.
Okay. I like to keep that simple, you know.
Yes, absolutely.
It's not complicated, you know. When you're doing what you love, everything just comes together.
Yeah. Well, we've come to the end of our interview. Thank you for joining Gregory and me for this amazing conversation. And don't forget to sign up for his free gift as well. You'll find the link to it on the same page directly under his call on the speaker's page. This is Tracy Elizabeth Roman, and remember, you deserve to love your life. Bye for now.